This. Okay. It's ready? All right. This is the story of three brothers who were brought up in very similar circumstances. We're not talking about a major difference between any of their upbringings. They were talmidim of the exact same yeshivas, same types of friends, and they all were married to young ladies of fine families and standing. And everybody went to good schools, everything all together, they're all the same. Eventually, all three of these brothers went to work. All three of these brothers went to work. Reuven planned on starting a Seder every single day. Either it would be in the morning or in the evening. He wasn't sure yet, but he wanted to start right after the Yamim Tovim. He was going to wait right after the Yamim Tovim. That's when he hoped he would find the right chavrusa, the right person that he would get along with, and everything will be okay. But he kept pushing it off a little bit, and he'll start then, and then when it didn't work out after the Yamim Tovim, that ended up being after Hanukkah, then it would be Purim. It just kept being pushed off. Shimon, it's possible that he did this because he saw that Reuven wasn't able to get a chavrusa, he decided, you know what, he's going to take his thing. He wanted to make sure that he got a daily seder as well. He decided to go to a daf yomi shir. And every day he learned daf yomi, and he was there. And sometimes he understood the daf, sometimes he didn't. He did absolutely no chazara, which meant that at the end of the day, he had a lot of information that he wasn't able to retain all of it. And Shabbos, he tried to go over it, but he didn't really get there so much. At the end of the day, it was hard because he kept having to do more and more and more, and it's not easy to do such a thing. That was Shimon. Now, Levi had a chavrusa. Levi, there's nothing to do with Rabbi Sheinfeld. Levi had a chavrusa. He never missed this chavrusa. Made sure he would never, ever miss the chavrusa, nor did he ever want to. He enjoyed it. I mean, he liked learning during his morning slash night seder with this chavrusa thoroughly. If he missed it in the morning, he made sure to make it up at night. If he wasn't able to do it morning or night, he had in the afternoon. When he had an extra day off of work, he made sure to get together with his chavrusa to make sure that they would have a couple extra hours to be able to go over something. See, the point is that it was never less than an hour and 15 minutes. It was never more than 2 hours. He just couldn't find the time in the day to be able to do so. When they had a little bit of time off, maybe that's when they spent a little bit more than two, but he didn't kill himself over it. He just had that. On a regular basis, he didn't have a set amount of Torah that he had to learn per day. There was no chova where they had to finish a daf or they had to finish an amud or they have to do this or that and the other. What they did was, on a regular basis, they went through Gemara Rashi well, and then they analyzed Tosfos. And their main goal was trying to understand what Tosfos is trying to tell them. They analyzed it carefully, step by step. They didn't feel pressured to go any quicker. They didn't feel pressured to have to finish the Tosfos before the time was up. If the time was up and they weren't finished with the Tosfos, next day. They'd go the next day. And they'd finish it off the next day and they'd be able to go somewhere. There was no pace. So routinely, Levi would have a kash on Tosfos. And this is a normal occurrence where Levi, the businessman, would sit there and he'd ask a kasha based on Tosfos and he'd start thinking, start understanding where Tosfos is coming from. Start thinking to himself, why did Tosfos say this way? I would tell you that it should be something else entirely. I wouldn't tell you anything that Tosfos is saying right now. Now, his chavrusa, who's experienced in this type of an idea, and where Levi would go off, start thinking about a Tosfos, took the time while Levi was thinking to look up the Marsha on the back. Happens to be, smiles, looks at it, and he says, you should know, the Marsha asked your kasha, Levi. Levi's not distracted by that. Doesn't get distracted by the Marsha asking his kasha, and he thinks about it. And he sits there and he learns the shita of Tosfos, what's Tosfos trying to say, and he tries thinking to himself, you know, the way he's learning, the way to answer this kasha would be the following way. And he starts coming up with this brand new idea, this concept that's sitting there that he'd never thought of before, that nobody's ever thought of before, or so he thinks. And he sits there and he says, I think this is an answer to Tosfos. His chavrusa smiles at him, and he says to him, listen, Levi, I hear your answer, but the Marsha says differently. Levi doesn't take that as anything. He says, I understand that Marsha might say differently, but this is my pshat. And he starts looking at it. They look at the Marsha. They compare it to the answer that Levi says. They start comparing, contrasting, seeing which answer is a little bit of a better answer in Tosfos, which answer is something that they could understand a little bit further. And that's that. They look around with each other and they work on it. They realize that there's not enough time. They stop. They come the next day. They work on it again. They go through. Levi is still holding on to his teretz of Tosfos. He understands the Marsha says differently. Eventually, they find the teretz that Levi was saying, very similar teretz in the Pnei Yoshua. They saw that the Bnei Yehoshua asked the Kasha, the same Kasha as the Marsha, answers a little bit differently that understands the way the Levi does, and he understands something different, and it's everything there. This is a routine occurrence. That's what Levi does. This is the way the Levi ends up learning. With excitement, they look forward to making their own Chedushim, understanding their own Pshat in Torah, getting Sein Chalkenu Besorah Secha from their own souls, trying to get it from themselves, from within themselves, trying to understand it. This is by far the most enjoyable part of their lives. Because their whole lives and everything else they do, as much as everything else has to do, they got everything from when they're learning together. It's an uplifting daily encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which they're trying to understand everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to say to them and what they can get out of it. At work, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, their experiences are very different from one another. Very, very different from one another. Reuven feels a gravitational pull toward the office lewd banter. And although they might be talking about things that could be somewhat kosher, talking about sports, the last basketball game, the last baseball game, the last football game, whatever it is, depending on the time of year, he's involved in it. He's involved in it. And if something goes on during that day and they tell him about a game or a play or something that he should have seen, so he goes onto his internet, which of course has a kosher filter on it, and he sits there and he looks over and he tries to see, what was that play? What was that game? Can I find it? If it costs $2.99 to be able to get ESPN for the month, to be able to get that, you know, to get those plays and to get those games and to get them on there, he'll spend the $2.99 per month. What's the big deal? It's just $2.99 per month. When they start talking about a movie that Reuven never would have seen before in his life, something that Reuven has no experience in, he wants nothing to do with beforehand. But as time goes on, Reuven, without a Seder, without a Chavrusa, without anything there, he starts hearing about it and says, you know, I do have a little bit of extra time. I have a couple of hours extra in the day. What's the big deal if I end up watching that TV show? He gets hooked on that TV show. You watch 1 hour of 24, you have to watch the other 23 hours of 24. How can you get one without the other 23? How is that possible? It's unbelievable. And if you see one show of this one thing and it was really, really funny, well, I got to see it the next time around. And it keeps coming around. And when it's a rerun, he gets upset. See, he gets involved and he realizes that on his phone, which he doesn't have a filter on, he sits there and he realizes he has Netflix. Oh, well, I can't get Netflix on my computer at home. It's probably better that my wife doesn't even know about my Netflix. But for Netflix, what is it, $3.99, $4.99 per month? You get every movie, every TV show, anything you could possibly want. I mean, that's that. And it's all there on his phone, and he watches an ingenious method. On his hour and a half daily commute to and from work, he's able to put up his phone right there on the dashboard, stick it up right over there. Eventually, he might figure out that there's a Velcro system that he could use. And he has it right there, and he plays it, and he watches and laughs along with everything else during his hour and a half commute. If he has a train ride instead of the car ride, well, it's even easier then, right? Because then you could just plug in your little earphones, be dead to the rest of the world, and just watch whatever you're doing when he's right there. It's not only that. It's not only the sports. It's not only the movies, the political discussions, or anything else like that. It's also the woman that are at work. Reuven is happily married. He's got a great wife, great kids, and everything like that. Nonetheless, there are people there who are dressed to kill. They're not going to stop because Reuven happens to be an Orthodox Jew. That doesn't happen. So Reuven starts getting involved with them. Not on purpose, but instead of hiring the 65-year-old, really overweight secretary, he happened to hire a 21-year-old who happens to look really good and happens to dress really, really good. Chas v'shalom, Reuven would never do anything. That's not Reuven's style. Reuven wouldn't do that. But as things go on, just the eye candy is good enough for him, so to speak. That's fine. As long as he gets to look at her, that's right there. That's number one. The big bad wolf is blowing down at his big house of straw. And it's very easy for Reuven's house of straw to be crumbled and to be destroyed by that wolf who's coming against him. And there's anything that could possibly happen to Reuven. Shimon, on the other hand, had it a little bit easier. He's got a house of wood. He does have that shear that he goes to every day. It's much harder for the Sutton to entrap him and to try to take him there. He stays away from the office banter for the most part. It's very easy for him to stay away. It's not like he's ever going to get involved in that sort of stuff, and he doesn't really want to hear what those people are trying to say. But the truth is, when there's a deal that's offered to him, that's off the books, nobody will find out about it. It's going to make him an easy $10,000 without his boss hearing about it. Although really he knows it's illegal, he knows he shouldn't be involved in this, but you know, the fact is, tuition is really high, and I'm paying full tuition. And those rabbis, maybe they don't have to pay full tuition, but I've got to pay full tuition. And for $13,000 a kid, an extra $10,000 in my pocket off the books that the government isn't taking $4,000 of it from me, is actually a really good deal. Really, really good deal. And it's not really so illegal anyway. Everybody does this sort of thing. It's the line of business that I'm in. I mean, that's the way that these nursing homes slash accounting deals slash business deals are. I mean, that's the way people act. It's not like nobody does it. In fact, the government probably even knows about it and doesn't care about it. They for sure don't care because they know that this is okay. The fact that people are getting away with speeding 10 miles over the limit doesn't mean that it's fine to speed over the limit. It just means that people are getting away with it, getting away with doing something that's against the law. And the fact is, he sits there. That's when the rationalizations start getting over him and he starts realizing, you know, I could really do anything. The boss is never going to find out. There's no way the governor will find out. It really isn't us or mamish media raisa. Maybe media rabbanan in some different way, but it's definitely not media raisa. I can get around it that way. So the big bad wolf is huffing and puffing and trying to blow his little house of wood down. It's different also. Levi is in a different world. During his lunch break, when everybody else is sitting and talking with one another, when offers are being made that are probably not the best in the world, Levi has no shaychus to it. See, Levi is in his own world, where he's still trying to figure out from this morning why Tosfos and the Pnei Yoshua make more sense to him than the Marsha. Why is it that the Marsha didn't answer like the Pnei Yoshua? How could it be that it's like there? And he's sitting there eating his carrot sticks. I'm making him the health guy. And he's sitting there, and he's looking at it, and he's just sitting there, and he's just like, it doesn't make any sense. And when other people come over to him, he has a short, curt conversation with them. Yeah, everything's good, thank God. How's you? How's your family? Great, great to hear. And he's off in his own world. And if he has a little bit of time, he sits there and he says, you know what? I know I have a couple extra svarim in my office. Why don't I just go to my office and just spend some time looking at them rather than doing anything with the rest of the people in the office or going out to lunch with them in a not kosher restaurant where I can still have a little bit of a salad or have something while they're eating something else. I don't really need to be involved with all this. I'll do my own thing while they're somewhere else. See, Levi understands that Klal Yisrael is not about involving ourselves with anything else. It's naseh. We're going to do the mitzvos. Vinishma. And then afterward, we'll hear what we need to do and strive to understand every single word of the Torah, even though we don't understand how in the world a little silly Gemara that we're learning in the morning in Ksuvis and Daf Tes and Daf Yud and Daf Yud Aleph and Daf Yud Beis and Daf Tes Zayin Yud Zayin, that any little Gemara over there has any shaychus to the rest of our lives. I'm never writing a Ksuva. I'm never going to be a Rav that's going to be involved in these types of things. What's the big deal that I'm sitting there and trying to figure out pshat and tosis? How is that ever going to affect my life? Says Reuven and says Shimon. Levi knows, because Levi's in that world. He might not own an ox. He might not ever, ever own chickens that have ropes tied to their legs, knocking down little pieces of dough and like throwing themselves all over the ground. That could be that he's never going to do that. But Levi nonetheless sits there and learns Sroros as if it's his entire life essence. And it is. The truth is, it is. It's what makes Levi the person. He's got a house of bricks. The big bad wolf can huff and puff all he wants, but there is absolutely no way he's going to get past that house. No way he's going to get past there. What's the line? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's possibly going to get involved in here? I got to be truthful with you. This is not my own idea. This idea, although I changed many of the details and I put down a little bit differently, is from Revelio 11. I spoke about it with him, the Rosh Yeshiva of Shari Tun, over this past week. It's a tremendous Musar Shmuz. It's a tremendous idea. Tremendous idea. You have to understand what you're doing. You have to understand what you're doing. You don't think that your daily encounter with Rabbeinu Tam, Rashbam, with Rashi, with the Marsha, with the Bnei Yoshua, you don't think that's affecting your lives? You don't think it's changing who you are? You're wrong. You're dead wrong. Do you really think that doing Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum and a little bit of Halacha every day, just memorizing it, putting it inside your head, or just reading the words, do you think that's going to affect you the same way of learning a Gemara Be'ian is? It's not. If you learn it Be'ian, and I know it's hard because I know the words are not there, and I know there's so many distractions, and I know there's so many things that you're worried about. I realize. I know there's so much there. You have no idea what the effect is on you for the rest of your day, for the rest of your week, for the rest of your life. You have no clue. And you could be that guy who sits there and has every excuse in the book why he's not learning daily. You could be that guy. And you know what? Those excuses may be 100% legitimate. There may be 100% legitimate excuses. If my brother Uri ever told me, I have a reason why I'm not learning today, totally understand him. Completely and utterly understand him. With a kid who's, the nurse didn't show up all night, so he had to stay up all night with his kid to make sure that his kid is still alive, to make sure that he's still there. The fact that he's able to learn a little bit while still teaching, while still giving classes in the afternoon for something. I hear, when I look at my brother and I see him here for a couple hours in the morning, I look at that and I say, I have no excuse. I have absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I sit there and I look at it and I say to myself, it's right there. There's no question you could have legitimate excuses for the rest of your life, but you're still going to be Reuven. So be scared for your life. With Shimon, there's nothing wrong with going to a Daf Yomi Shir. Nothing wrong with it. But that's not going to affect you as much. You should be giving the Daf Yomi Shir. You should be working on it to the point where you know Daf Yomi is so cold. It's not that you went over it once. It's that we went over it three or four times every time you go through the cycle. If you're going to do Daf Yomi, then do it. Do it. Know what it's there for. Not just to get yourself involved in a Seder. That's a very low level that I need a Seder, so I might as well do this. Work yourself even further. Do it Chazara and go over it again and again and again. Frakir, the highest level is a guy who's been through Shas seven or eight times in one cycle. That's the greatest level. A guy who knows Bikias that well. Unbelievable, Sinai versus Oker Haran. I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it. Because then when you have the extra time, you're only going to do this because I got to go through it again and again and again. Not so sure I understand that. That's the way to go through it. But I will tell you, there's no question that Levi has the best life out of all of them. Levi is sitting there with a clear, clear path. He knows what he's doing. He's staying away from the wrong influences. And nobody can be assured that they're, wherever they are, that they're going to be there in the best of influences. Listen, I'm sitting there on the plane. I'm a rabbi. I work for a yeshiva. I'm on my way after bringing all these shiurim and everything like that. And I'm sitting there and my flight gets delayed and I'm a couple hours late and I miss my flight to Chicago and I'm sitting there and I'm just, you know, like there's so many people who are standing in line. This line was 100 people long. This is not an exaggeration. There were 100 people in line waiting to get a hotel. And I was number, I don't know, 87, 85, whatever it was, because I didn't push myself off the plane in order to get there. It took me a little bit to be able to get through customs. And there were other people who were in line for other things. And I'm sitting there. Do you know how easy it was to get to just start blasting people, start screaming at people? Because that's what it was. You were either one of two people. You were either the person saying, thank you so much, I appreciate it. Or you were the person who was sitting there saying, what's wrong with you? Why won't you take care of me? The person who took out his cell phone recording every single thing that was happening so that he could put it up on YouTube later and show how much of a fool that person behind the counter was. You know what that's like? You know what the difference is? I mean, it's, what's it like? What do you want to be? Do you want to be that guy? That guy that everybody else looks at, clucks their tongue and says, don't want to be like that guy. What about that guy that's really there, that really knows what he's doing with life, that's sitting there? For that, you need a Seder. For that, you need Ian. For that, you need to sit there and work on what you're learning is. It takes a lot to be able to get to the point where you're going to bring yourself to the point where you don't have to worry about any of the office banter. You don't have to worry about anything that anyone else is telling you. And you won't have any problems with any Arias or anything else that's out there. All the other taivas that are out there in the world. It takes a real lot. And it takes a real lot of brain power to be able to do it. And I certainly can't tell you I'm not there, but I'm working on it. And everybody has to start working on that. Think of who you want to be. You got Reuven, you got Shimon, you got Levi. I know I'm generalizing. Think of which person wants, this is you. What is your mode? Which one are you? Consider that. Because all these three people are going to, you hope, are going to Gan Eden. Just a very, very different chalakim. Have a good week, everybody.
he wants to know today who's coming.
How do you do it?
For Shabbos.
Very quickly, guys, for Shabbos, Rabbi Geffen.